B-Pod Studios.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Morris throws it the length of the floor, looking for the corner, and he throws it away out of bounds, and now the Nuggets will get it under the Celtics basket.
Well, couldn't have worked out any worse if you're the Celtics.
Millsap will trigger the under bounds. Nobody's guarding the inbound. Millsap finds the cutter. Craig, two-hand slam. Disastrous finish to the third quarter for the Celtics. Oh, that was ugly. Celtics had taken their largest lead, and the Nuggets get 5 points in the final 1.1 of the third quarter. And we are dead even. Denver by two at the end of the first quarter, by three at halftime. It's all square as we make the turn for home. End of three at the Garden. Boston 80, Denver 80.
Yeah, that might have been the low point of the night, in a lot of low points, especially in that second half, as the Celtics lose to Denver 114-105. Last night, and now tomorrow night's game against the 76ers is extremely important, in case you didn't know this. It is Felger and Mazz, 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Murray and Jones, and for the guys, get Marshall Hook alongside as well. So the 76ers, they've won four straight, much like Denver, 7-3 in their last 10. They're healthy, and they look pretty damn good. And I know, look, it's the Celtics are 3-0 against Philadelphia this year. They own that ass, and I do believe that, and I certainly think that they will go in there tomorrow night and win. But it's a bigger game now because they lost last night, and this courtesy of Boston Sports Imp. If you're not following him on Twitter, one of the better follows in terms of actual stats and facts. It's at Boston Sports Imp. He didn't have room for the O. So the probability of the Celtics getting the number three seed drops off a cliff with a loss tomorrow to the 76ers is what he tweeted earlier today. A Philly win tonight over Charlotte puts the 76ers up three games over the Celtics. So heading into tomorrow night's game, both teams will have 11 games left. If the 76ers win, they're going to be up four games with only nine to play, which in itself is virtually impossible or would be considered a massive choke job if they ended up blowing it. So really, if the Celtics lose tomorrow night, they can kiss the three seed away is an easier way of saying it.
So, I mean, on the one hand, I do look at that and I say, well, you know, I thought they'd be the best team in the East. So the fact that they can't finish third is disappointing. I may be in the minority on this, but I don't fear Milwaukee as much as I fear Toronto. And I assume Milwaukee.
This blows my mind, Jones, not to cut you off, because you know hoops. You're like one of the real hoop. Why? Like, I don't get the. Is it because of the institutionalized failure of that team?
No. It's just after Giannis, and Giannis is better than Kawhi, but not by much. I mean, that's close. Giannis is better, but I mean, Kawhi's an amazing, amazing player. I don't love the Bucks roster after Giannis. I don't. Like, okay. Brogdon's hurt now, and I'm not the biggest fan of his.
Plantar fascia thing, right?
Yeah. I don't like Brook Lopez. I don't really like Bledsoe. Like, Middleton's fine, but he's having a down year by his standards. I guess you could say the same thing about Lowry in Toronto. I like Toronto's roster so much better. You know, Ibaka and Siakam and even guys like Danny Green. I think their roster is better. So I would rather avoid Toronto, which is why I wouldn't really have a problem with them being the four seed. I kind of think the four seed is ideal. You get a home series against most likely Indiana. Then you get Milwaukee in the second round. So I just would like, you know, home floor in the first round and be the four seed. I don't need them to get to three because I'd rather face Milwaukee than Toronto.
All right, so you think this is a bit of hype with what he's putting out here?
Well, I mean, again, if you agree with me that Toronto's the more fearsome team, if you want to avoid Milwaukee, then you definitely want the three seed. So, I mean, it really depends on the matchups and who you fear more. I think more people look at the Bucks, and they've been the best team in the East. They've been, you know, maybe the best team in the NBA all year. Giannis is better than anyone Toronto has, but I still think they're a less intimidating team. I don't fear the Brook Lopez's and Eric Bledsoe's of the world in the playoffs. I don't. I do fear guys like, you know, Lowry and Gasol and Siakam and Ibaka. I just think that's a better roster after the best player.
All right, Phil in Malden with your thoughts on last night's Celtics
thanks,
loss.
Thanks. I agree with everything you say, and welcome to being the big seat. You're filling some big shoes, Murray.
Oh, don't I know,
but
Phil.
That's a big game tomorrow night against the Sixers, but I agree with you last night. He wasted his timeouts. You know, the two best guys get held to 14 points between the both of them. And then last week they went 3 out of 4 on the West Coast. They blew out the
Warriors.
Golden State the first game. Something wrong with this Celtics team. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, and it's been that way the whole year.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know why anyone would expect anything different at this point. You know, like, maybe you think they're turning corners here and there, and I've fallen for it, too. I've been like, oh, okay.
Well, you know,
now they're doing it.
But part of this was, with me getting suckered in this time, was buying into the hype of the plane ride and, you know, the group counseling that they had on the flight out to California. Are they going to have it, you know, on the 45-minute hour flight from Boston to Philadelphia for, you know, tonight or whatever the hell it is?
At least Kyrie's going to Philly this time. Like, at least, you know, at least he's gotten on the, we think. I mean, I guess they haven't left yet. So
I hope so.
I'm assuming Kyrie's actually going to go to Philly this time. So that's progress. That's moving in the right direction.
Jalen in Rhode Island with your thoughts on last night's loss to the Nuggets. Hey, Jalen.
Hey, I just think that our team's going to play much different in the playoffs because I feel like our inability to finish games, I feel like Brad Stevens is smart enough to game plan and figure something out in the fourth quarter, even though it's looked very bad in this regular season. Thanks.
Thanks, Jalen. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is with Brad this year, because I do think when it comes to game planning, and like the Philly series last year was a great example of it, he coached circles around Brett Brown. When he almost has too many options, whether it's in his rotation, because I think he struggled all year with rotations, like who to give a hook to, who to get out there. Tatum did not close the game last night.
Saturday was proof of it, as they're choking up a 25-point lead against Atlanta.
Bingo. You know, the game was getting away from them with Kyrie off the floor last night and with Smart out there. So
right, he was looking to check in for like 3 minutes at one point.
So I think Brad struggled all year because he has 9, 10, 11 guys most nights that can all play, and I think he struggled with that. Never mind who to get the ball to. Like, the end of the Orlando game is a great example of this. Don't overthink it. It's the NBA. You get it to your best player. And he's scheming things up for Jason Tatum on the baseline. Like, I think he, for whatever reason, has been overwhelmed by some of the options that they have. I think he's a good X's and O's coach. I think he had been overrated at previous points, but I think he's a good X's and O's coach. I think he's struggling with managing the egos and just the myriad of options that he has. And I think that's been from day one. I think that's been an all-year thing with him.
Gave you those ominous numbers and show the importance of tomorrow night's game in Philadelphia against the 76ers, courtesy of Boston Sports Inf on Twitter. Paul in Dorchester has another stat for us. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. So the Celtics are 3-7 last 10 games against playoff teams. And in three of those wins, I think the main difference was getting Gordon Hayward involved. And Detroit scored against Detroit. That was the first last game he started. 18 points, 26 against Philly. Obviously, the 30-point game against Golden State. I think what happened is, if you hear national media, for example, like Stephen A. Smith said, Gordon Hayward and concussion protocol was a good thing for the Celtics because the young guys could step up like they did last year. They're not as good as they were last year for whatever reason. I think they bought into their own hype, so I don't know what's going on with this team and the young guys with all the inflated egos.
Well, Paul, it sounds like you had a moment last night that I did too, and I couldn't believe what I was saying. It was, this team actually misses Gordon Hayward. and they did, considering the way that he's played. One of the other things he forgot to mention too, in the 3-7 in their last 10 against playoff teams, that was also a complete no-show against Golden State. So you might. A lesser man would put an asterisk on that.
Got it. Seven. Yeah.
A lesser man would. But no, that's also an awful number, too. Like, I hadn't even realized that. I saw Christian Arkan tweet that last night, too, after the loss. And it was like, ooh. And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, yeah, right. Houston. It's like, oh, yeah, no. They've sucked against really good competition.
The Clippers
lately.
Hammered them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I guess, shame on me for feeling good about this team going into last night's game and buying into two comeback wins against the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday, and I know shame on me, Jones, and then the Sacramento Kings. But you think we're making too much of this hook over there?
I mean, listen, I think that every opportunity you have to watch that game and say, is this the Celtics losing or they're playing against the team that's now tied with Golden State in the West, you guys are putting it on the Celtics. I look at it and say, they were playing a very good team, and that very good team had a very good fourth quarter. And sure, the Celtics didn't look their best, but I'm not putting it, you know, all of the blame on the Celtics. I'm willing to give some credit to the Denver Nuggets. But big picture, I think you and I are in the same place, that that game looks to me like the Celtics are, you know, whatever spot they end up in the postseason, whoever they end up playing, they're not doing much. Because ultimately, whether it's because they failed or the other team was just better, they weren't up to the challenge. So it really doesn't matter why they weren't up to the challenge. They just weren't. And so,
yeah, so if anything, it sounds like Jones and I are being too nitpicky at the Celtics, and you just think they're just not as good as a team like Denver.
But again, but that's like a big picture view, and I probably didn't do a good job of verbalizing this in the beginning. If you told me yesterday they lost to the Nuggets, they were going to lose to the Nuggets, I'd be like, okay. Like, I don't know that I expected the Celtics to win that game going in. But then when you're in it and it's tied and you're at home in the fourth quarter, that's a game you should win. Like, when you're tied against just about anybody at home in the NBA in the fourth quarter, You should be able to close that out. You've hung with them for three quarters. You have the home court advantage. Crowd's on your side. I think whether it's Denver or dare I even say a team like Golden State or Milwaukee or whomever, you should be able to do that on your home floor.
But I look at it and say the Denver Nuggets have these two, you know, giants, you know, close to the net. So that's going to be hard from a defensive standpoint. And then they were shooting, you know, pretty out of their minds from the three-point line. So you put those two things together. Is that the Celtics' fault or the Nuggets just having a team that, with those two components at play last night, were the better team?
See, I don't think Denver played out of their minds. Like, I still look at the stats or the box. I think I had seven guys in double figures, so they were balanced.
Out of their minds may be a little strong, but they were doing very well shooting.
Like,
very well.
Jamal Murray, the first time the Celtics lost to them, went off for 48. You lose that kind of game and the guy's just red hot. Kemba Walker ate him up in a game earlier this year. I'm like, okay, fine. Jokic chucked in a couple of threes. You know, Barton slashed his way to the hoop. That lead got extended. It was a double-digit lead by the end of the fourth quarter. Like, they let that get away much too easily.
All right, want to get your guys' thoughts on the return of Isaiah Thomas last night, especially if you were in the building. Want to hear from you at 617-779-0985. We'll touch on that and get also more of your thoughts on the loss last night to the Nuggets, which I feel like a lot of people were like, eh, it was ugly, but you know what? We had a good time. We got to see Isaiah come back. We got the tribute video, and yay. Much like the Paul Pierce night from a year ago in February when people were like, oh, yeah, we got to celebrate Paul Pierce for like an hour and a half, and it was like 40 minutes too long. And then they got squashed by 40 points to the Cleveland Cavaliers. It didn't feel that bad because we got to have a good time and watch a video. That's what it really feels like. But, hey, good for Isaiah. So we'll get to all of that. And before the end of the hour, another pair of tickets to Monday Night Raw at the Garden. So be listening for that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, a Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Felger and Bass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah, Isaiah, who here has to play.
I told you. You could just tell by the way Mike Malone was talking. And he wanted Isaiah in this game.
The opportunity presents itself. I mean, that would be everything. But I'm a Nugget right now, and I'm happy to be here. And if that opportunity is there, I'm open to any and everybody. But if that opportunity is there, I mean, why not? Yeah, we would have probably won a championship already. It was tough when it happened because, I mean, it was out of nowhere, and I was hurt. Like I said earlier, I was able to play off the bat, off the trade. I think it would have been easier for me to, you know, get through that. But I don't hold any grudges. I'm through it. Things happen. Everything happens for a reason, and I'm just glad to be back healthy and back playing.
He very humbled Isaiah Thomas last night at the Garden. You snicker, Jones, but I mean that. No, and I think
that was humble?
I think for the most part, yeah. Yeah, everything happens for a reason and all that good stuff. Yeah.
We're going to win a championship part?
No, I mean, that I wasn't a fan of, and that reminded me of the Isaiah Thomas that really started to rub me the wrong way. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys for most of this week. But overall, I thought it was good. And, you know, you do remember, like, I can understand why people really did get wrapped up in that 2.5 years, and especially that run where it was like the whole King of the Four thing and him playing himself into MVP conversation. A lot of people got confused there. He was thinking he was a legit MVP candidate, and you're chanting it like fools. But MVP conversation, sure. But, yeah, no, it was fun. It did remind us of a more fun time where this team gave you max effort night in, night out, and they didn't want to make you put your head in the oven almost night in, night out like this year's team does.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, there is stuff that I did like about last night, and I know I'm getting on Isaiah a little bit just because you got your video tribute that, by the way, you could have had last year, but you didn't want it at a certain point in time because you weren't playing. Then it was Paul Pierce's night, and you still wanted it, but Paul Pierce didn't want you to have it. So, like, everybody was a baby about that last year. Last night, I thought it was nice. I thought it was nice that he got to play in the game, even though he looked atrocious. Like, no wonder. And I hadn't seen him a lot since he had been playing in Denver this year, since he just came back prior to getting cut out of the rotation. No wonder he's out of the rotation. Like, he looks awful. I was a big IT guy, but there were things that irked me about him, and he could put it on a little thick. Like, oh yeah, I could still be an all-star. Oh, I could still be all NBA. Oh yeah, we would have won a championship by now. Like, just, I get it. This was your home. You loved it here, and you wish you were still here. You never wanted to leave. I'm with you up to that point. The other stuff is where I got a little off-board.
Yeah, I mean, he always has been a very confident man, but it does border on delusion sometimes, too. That's where we would have won a championship. Huh? Really? Really?
No. Maybe he meant Eastern Conference Championship. Yeah. someone tweeted it at me.
Well, yeah,
somebody tweeted that at me, and they're like, oh, well, maybe he meant if he were playing in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they wouldn't have lost.
Yeah,
I don't think that's what he meant, but maybe I'd even halfway agree with that.
I would even take that. You know, considering no one could hit a shot to save their lives, and for whatever reason, the offense then went away from Jason Tatum last year in the fourth quarter in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. So, yeah, maybe they could have won that.
Conference Championship.
Yeah. Luke in Vermont, what'd you make of everything last night? Hello, Luke.
First time all year where I was like, this team really misses Hayward. And I think it's good that he's gotten to a point where the team actually misses him. And I know I've kind of talked about beating a dead horse with the whole starting lineup thing, but watching Marcus Morris infuriates me. Like him throwing the ball into the 72nd row last night at the end of the third quarter. And just like, I can't stand to watch him on the court anymore thinking that he's Ray Allen. They have to go back to the original starting lineup. Marcus Smart should be the sixth man, then Baines, and Rozier and Morris should really be specialists. Jones, you touched on it about Brad having too many options. I think he did fumble around the lineup a little bit, but I think some of those guys have actually played themselves out of the rotation somewhat, I'm hoping, when it comes time to the playoffs. And I do think you're also right, Jones, about the playoff thing. Milwaukee is one of those great regular season teams, not like Atlanta. They're better than Atlanta was, but I think the Greek himself and that team is built for the regular season. I would love to see Boston as the four, Philly as the three, and then Philly and Boston playing the conference finals. That's the best case scenario for the Celtics.
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, good for him. I can't agree. I can't disagree with much of what that man had to say.
He said you were right like five times.
I don't know what's going on. That's my favorite phone call of all time. I think I also think their best chance to lock in is with that starting lineup from the beginning of the year. I think he said Baines. I'm not anti Baines getting back in the starting lineup. I was actually a little surprised they didn't go with it last night with Denver's bigger front line, but I still think the lineup they started the year with is their best lineup. And I think, last night aside, Jaylen Brown, based on merit, should be in there over Morris. And I just like Smart better off the bench. I have my own things about Smart, but I think if he is your first guard off the bench, you're adding energy into the game, as opposed to he's out there, he's starting, then the starters come out and your energy level drops. I can always acknowledge that about Smart. He brings the energy. I think it gets overrated sometimes, but that's a nice thing to inject in with the second unit. So whether that's Hayward starting, whether you go back to Baines, I also would like Morris and Smart both back off the bench.
I mean, we're going on what feels like 4 to 5 weeks of where I have felt, and I think a lot of Celtics fans have felt as well, Jaylen Brown should be in the starting five.
Of course.
There's just this reluctance to do it. And I just feels like Brad Stevens just too locked in at this point to even make that kind of change.
So,
and I don't understand why.
I kind of said it half jokingly yesterday, but I wonder if it's he kind of knows how teammates feel about Jaylen. You know, like,
and if that's what it is. That's
every
scary.
Every time there's been some kind of shouting incident, even last night at the end of the third quarter. You know, Jaylen's the guy who fell asleep on the inbounds to Torrey Craig or whoever it was that got the layup that tied it. And for whatever reason, he's been the guy that they all take their frustration out on. So maybe Brad just knows that if he puts Jaylen back in the starting lineup, guys are going to have a problem with it.
Isaac in
I don't have another. I don't have a better explanation than that. Based on play, he should be in there.
That's terrifying if that's what it even is, and it probably is too. Isaac in California on Isaiah's return to the Garden last night. Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to touch on, you know, the whole video tribute and the controversy when Rondo got involved, was backing up his boy Paul Pierce because it was going to be on the same night. And, you know, I kind of think Rondo had no business getting involved and making a big old controversy about this whole thing. I mean, I kind of feel if we had Isaiah Thomas on our team last night in the fourth quarter, there was a moment when we had it back, I think, within 5 points. And, you know, Kyrie supposedly is the best closer in the game, and he couldn't even close it for us, you know, in our own backyard. So,
yeah, and on that, Isaac, I'm going to let you go because, Jones, what do you make of Kyrie's night last night? Did you think there was a little more pep in his step for a certain reason?
Well, I wonder. I certainly thought he wanted to, you know, make sure that he tried to win back adulation a little bit from the fans. He started forcing early on in the game. What did he start? 1-for-7, 1-for-8, 1-for-9, something like that from the floor. He shot it miserably from deep in the game last night. I didn't have the biggest issue with him in the game last night. I thought the shot selection from Morris and Smart was worse, but he had some bad shots in that run in the fourth quarter when they were melting down. So I think he was a big problem closing it out.
All right, coming up in our long commercial-free segment, the great Tommy Heinsohn apparently pissed at us, which is funny because he should also have been yelling at himself in a mirror last night. We'll explain with audio along with more of your Celtics calls. And coming up, we'll be hooking you up with a pair of tickets to Monday Night Raw. WWE Monday Night Raw coming up at TD Garden. I have to say it like a wrestler. That's next here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
This guy is becoming one of the fierce competitors that you've seen in a green uniform. And all that talk about him being a leader a couple of weeks ago, and all the talk show hosts who are conjecturing that he's not even close to it, they ought to shut their mouths now, because this kid has got it all.
From the great Tommy Heinsohn, a broadcast of last night's Celtics loss. The Denver Nuggets and TD Garden. I love Tommy. I respect the world of Tommy Heinsohn, and rightfully so.
Say hello to Tommy. He's watching, listening.
Yes, I don't know if you're speaking of Jones and I yesterday, if we're questioning the leadership of Kyrie Irving that you were playing up last night during the broadcast, or if it's Felger and Mazz, or really any of the shows here on this station, because Lord knows we've all done it collectively at some point. The only thing is, though, Mr. Heinsohn is... considering something that you said about this team and their lack of leadership, I don't know, what, Jimmy, like a month and a half ago, 2 months
February
ago?
9th?
February 9th, okay, huh. Not even that long ago. You might have been, you might as well have just said all that you'd said to us and the radio hosts and whatnot to yourself in the mirror.
Now, this is a sit down in a locker room and look at each other and say, and this is really where the teamwork comes in. Somebody who's a leader at this ball club has got to stand up and has got to say, what do you guys think I can do better to turn this around? Show some humility. That gets the team back into being a team. But this is a perfect example of a time when teams who are losers start pointing fingers at each other. And when that happens, kiss the season goodbye.
Yeah, that was the, I believe that's February 9th, that's the 123-112 loss to the Clippers, the one that Kyrie essentially kind of tapped out on Not a leader that night.
The 28 point lead, that one?
Yeah, not much of a leader overall for much of the season, but leader last night and to us. Okay. All right.
I mean,
point taken.
I just.
Might want to yell at yourself a little bit there, too.
I get.
8-7 since that game, by the way. Yeah. 8-7.
8-7. And I think they've won every game Kyrie didn't play in. Including, I think, right after that is when he wasn't going to Philly, right?
Like,
right,
that is
right,
correct.
Right after that. Yes. It was the 28-point loss against the Clippers. So, look, I mean, I know. Greg's team was Bill Russell. And, you know, Avery Bradley plays defense like Michael Jordan. And we used to hate Al Horford before he got to Boston, but now we love Al Horford. Like, I get all of that. But I don't get how anyone couldn't question the leadership of Kyrie Irving, Tommy included, and he's done it. Because this team has underachieved so wildly this year. Like, I thought they were the no-brainer number one team in the Eastern Conference, and I thought they could take a couple games off the Warriors. And I don't know, maybe they could. They just smoked Golden State a couple of weeks ago. That's what their talent level is. And to underachieve this year with him openly brooding and complaining when he shows up to the arena or, you know, calling out teammates after Orlando losses or failing to show up to certain games here and there, all the various things he's done this year. And he's been so out front about his free agency and, hey, I don't know anybody, anything. And, you know, talk to me on July 1st. All those incidents over the course of the year. How could you possibly say he's a great leader?
No, you
can't. In a loss.
Right.
Where he melted down in the fourth quarter, or at least the team melted down in the fourth quarter, and he was a part of it. And that's where we're gonna die on that hill, defending his leadership in that game? Ugh.
Yeah, and you've had Terry Rozier twice in a week now in separate interviews saying, well, we go as he goes, as his moods go. That's a leader, a guy that runs that hot and cold, a guy that essentially comes off as your alcoholic dad. Like, oh, well, is dad going to come home in a good mood tonight? We don't know. He's in a good mood. We can have a nice dinner and nothing's going to get thrown at each other. Oh, dad's drunk. There's going to be a fight and there's a black cloud hanging all over everybody. That's no leader.
No. And just again, the team reflects it. If he was doing all this, but they were first in the East, there'd be a much stronger leg to stand on that, well, he's a good leader, or at least they're winning in spite of his leadership deficiencies or whatever.
His brilliant play is helping to lead.
We'll yeah, he's been a bad
ignore
leader.
Ignore all the annoyances.
Yeah, he's been a bad leader, and the team's underachieved. So I don't even understand where there's a gray area with this.
Leaders show up in shape, right?
Oh, yeah. He
is recovering from an injury. To me, he looks like he's 5 pounds overweight, but I haven't seen him on a scale.
Right. Maybe that's something he plays his way into.
Yes,
you know,
that's
game
what
shape.
I think
right.
is going to happen, and his timing. And he's just like a half a step slow.
I forgot about that, Jimmy. Great pull. Oh, you evil SOB. He called him fat.
Pounds overweight, but.
That's right. I forgot. He called Kyrie fat, too.
5 pounds overweight.
That's
but
your leader.
A leader would show up in shape. Yes, that's
5 pounds overweight.
I got to tell you, 5 pounds overweight is fat. I don't know what I am.
Oh, I'm a moose. Yeah, I'm with you, Hook. Believe me, I wish that's all I was.
I'm a walking condominium now.
Tom in Pembroke on Tommy Heinsohn's comments.
5 pounds overweight.
Go ahead, Tom.
You rip on Tommy Heinsohn, but yet you guys employ Ted Johnson, who beat his wife over Vicodin.
I mean, at first, it's a rip, and two, hey, did you dump that? Thanks. You know, sometimes the callers. Derek and Fox.
Well, hang on. I would say, by the way, that did we start the thing with Tommy?
Right. Yeah, he drew first blood,
yeah,
not us.
He well, drew to be first fair, blood. Like, we didn't say anything about that.
Who's ripping on Tommy Heinsohn but Tommy Heinsohn? All you did was play a sound from Tommy Heinsohn last night and then sound from him, what, last month? That's all you did.
February 9th. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's like the Spider-Man meme pointing at it. It's Tommy.
It's basically Tommy pointing at Tommy.
It's the Tommy Spider-Man pointing back at Tommy. That's what's going on.
Derek and Foxborough on the Isaiah Thomas tribute. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was the perfect tribute. He deserved it. You know, what he did in that playoff run, you know, dropping 55 on the Wizards. And, you know, you mocked him for saying they could have won a title. But remember, they were the team that ended the Warriors, you know, 50-game home winning streak, whatever it was. So if he was healthy, you know, and didn't, you know, tear up his hip, you know, maybe they could have.
Look, they have been the best competition for that team, even during the Bridges era. But I don't know. I think that's a little.
Yeah, let's see them get past Cleveland first before we start talking about Golden State. And they couldn't get past Cleveland. I know Isaiah wasn't healthy in that series, and he only played in half of it. But they were so far away from Cleveland that year. I wouldn't go there.
Jason in New Hampshire, were you in the building last night? Did you see the Isaiah tribute?
Yeah. I was there, and you know, don't get me wrong, I love IT, but what, you know, it was the beginning of the second quarter. It was like the game was in within five, and every time, you know, IT shot the ball, the crowd was cheering, and I was just thinking to myself, like, what are we doing? We're still trying to win a competitive game here. It just seemed a little crazy to me.
Thanks, Jason. That's probably how I would have felt there, too. But, man, people love those tribute nights.
It was the second quarter. You know, I mean, I didn't mind that out of the fans. I took more that Smart and Rozier were so into it. Like, man, they were like, oh.
Yeah, I remember fun.
That's what fun was. Oh, remember fun? I remember fun. That's like what they were doing. But even they were getting a little into it. Like, I don't know if that's what was going on the bench. Like, they were, you know, the Hawks when Larry Bird was lighting them up back in the 80s, falling over on their own bench. But I don't mind the fans getting into it last night. In the second quarter, I'm not going to get... I will get on the team before I get on the fans for that disaster showing from the team in the fourth.
Instead, you have this leader.
5 pounds overweight. Yeah.
Shows up fat, always in a bad mood, might be in a good mood every once in a while. The team goes as his mood goes. Maybe that's why they're so inconsistent, because he's so inconsistent as a human being.
And, of course, he's...
5 pounds overweight.
Fat, too. Brilliant basketball player.
At least five.
Call number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line to 617-931-0985. You will score a pair of tickets to Monday Night Raw. WWE Monday Night Raw. I couldn't cut a promo to save my life.
That's pretty good.
I was never a wrestler. It's coming to the Garden this Monday, March 25th, less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania. Don't miss The Shield. Back together for one final time. Tickets are available through all Ticketmaster outlets. But again, call number 10 right now. Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You'll score tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw. Good luck there. The most boring man in pro sports, he got paid. How does this affect Mookie Betts and the Red Sox? We're going to get to the monster deal that Mike Trout got from the Angels today. Anaheim Angels, whatever. The team that no one cares about out in L.A. or Anaheim. Mike Trout gets that money. We'll talk about this next. Felger and Maz, 98.5, a sports hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.